Right, and we heard just before from one of Paul's letters to the church in Corinth. We're now going to hear a reading from the other one, 1 Corinthians, in chapter 13. Quite a famous bit. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
Faith, hope, and love. What comes in threes? How many of us have that expression in our minds when people say, if this happens, well, it'll come in threes? In fact, that's what my mum used to say quite often. If a disaster took place, look out for the next two. In a sense, always looking for the negative rather than for a positive. And then there's the optimist who sees something else. The optimist will see strength in the number three. The optimist believes that all good things come in threes. Three tenses: past, present, and future. Think back to childhood, when you were limited in the things that you could have. I don't know why I thought of this, but I was thinking of ice cream. Anybody fancy one this morning? You know, you were somewhat limited to vanilla, strawberry, and if you were fortunate, chocolate. Now, when you go to the ice cream store, there is an abundance. And you look at it and you think, I'd like a bit of that, a bit of that, a bit of that, a bit of that. There's so much choice. So much choice. There's more flavours than we can manage. So what is it about this number three? Well, there's a truth that things do come in threes. For David read in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Paul says they all abide. That is to say that they will all last. They are strong. Though he does say something at the end, doesn't he? That the greatest is love. So first, Paul says faith abides. Faith means to have a trusting and believing heart. To let faith abide means that we have to trust that those around us will tell us the truth, that they intend no harm to us, that they will remain loyal even through the challenging times. If we have faith in others, we will never be afraid of them or doubt them. Faith is a bit like putting our trust. If we have faith in someone, we're to be totally committed to him or her. If I have faith and someone lets me down, do I walk away? Do I feel that the disappointment is too great? Or do I come alongside and try to help and to heal? Sometimes for all of us, we have those momentary lapses, but it doesn't change our trust. For faith abides. Faith keeps on trusting. And then, of course, without faith, there would be no hope. Faith cannot abide if there's no hope. Hope means having goals and visions. Hope is having dreams and directions. How many of us dream dreams of what might be? Sometimes they're dreams that are way beyond our expectations. What I could do with £100 million off the lottery. What's the point in dreaming it when I've never bought a ticket? What about a Ferrari? Brand new. I haven't got a drive big enough to put it on. I couldn't afford to put the petrol in it because it would probably take a year's salary. But sometimes we have dreams. Our dreams sometimes are just to be out there in the sunshine, especially on a morning like this. To just be somewhere, quiet, peaceful, relaxing. Or sometimes we need to be in a place where there's something that is jolly, where we can be lifted in our spirits. When we come to worship, do we come lifted in spirit? Hope is knowing that our life is counting for something. Something out there that God wants us to do in his kingdom, or maybe in the church here. Hope means we have places to go and things to do that matter. We're headed towards something better. That headed is one day to be with him in glory. Is that our hope? I think it should be. So if we don't have hope, what happens? If we're in a relationship that's broken, we have no hope. Because we destroy each other. This week I was asked to conduct a wedding in August back in Coventry. It will be a privilege to do so. As with one I will conduct in July, which will be slightly different because the bride is Russian. And I'm having to make sure that she's got all the necessary paperwork in place. Loving couples. Shutting out the world just to be there for each other. Hoping that love will keep them warm. Oh, isn't that romantic? Eh? And looking at all them that have been married and thinking, nah. No, that's not true. That's not true because partnership relationship is important. But sometimes, you know, we can become wrapped up in each other. When you're quite young and getting married, you start building a home, or building the nest, as they say. Spending time with each other is great. Dreaming of years to come. Placing your hope that in times of disappointment, hope will carry you through. There was a fellow who retired from work, and it actually made me stop and think. He pottered around the house. He weeded the garden, read the newspapers and his magazines, hovered around his wife and asked her 6 times a day, what are you doing? In frustration, she replied, look, I married you for better or worse. Get out and find something to do. We can actually be too close sometimes that we need to put a space. But the one thing that we can't do is we can never be too close to God. Because God wants us to draw near to him. What can I do, he thought. Well, he went out, he looked around. He'd been an engineer. And so he thought, I could actually mentor students. I could do something and give something back. And so he did. His relationship improved. His reliance on God grew to get him through the things that he needed to do and some of the things that he needed to learn. But he knew in doing this job, it was about kingdom business. It was about doing God's work, making and building hope for someone else into the future. Putting our energies to use for others, living for kingdom goals. You see, hope is indispensable. Faith abides, and so does hope. Two sides of a triangle. And then, of course, there's love. Oh, love. Faith and hope. But finally, we need love. Faith and hope need love in order to be strong. Faith and hope need love to abide. But the greatest of these is love. And this threesome is founded on love. In a sense, these triplets are rooted and grounded in love. But yet the most powerful side of the equilateral triangle is love. For love, you see, is tough. Love is not mamby-pamby. It's not all warm and fuzzy. Oh, it starts out like that, doesn't it, in relationships. It can start out like that in our relationship with God. But then comes the real commitment. When we're young, we have that, like, what do they call it, puppy love for one another. We see it in our grandson at 16 with his girlfriend. Oh. And we tried to put him on the right path of what the years might bring. But let them enjoy it. They're young. But in actual fact, that's not the love the Bible describes. The Bible gives a tough, resilient, seeking, persistent, and redemptive love. Love is seeing that someone you care about, someone who is suffering in illness, that they don't fall into denial, but actually fall in love with God all over again. Love is finding out that you've been cheated on by a partner and finding forgiveness, rebuilding trust in that relationship. Love hangs on to what is right and shares in repentance for what is wrong. You know, love is about finding out that your child is taking drugs, abusing alcohol, on a path to self-destruction in self-harming. But love does not wallow long in the "what are you doing to me?" Love looks for treatment, and the treatment comes from us, ourselves. Sometimes love calls us to reject. It calls us to push them into a place that we wouldn't want them to go. But for the benefit of the future, that has to be. Faith, hope, and love abide. These three. But the greatest of these is love. For love cures broken faith. If I choose to love somebody, I will build them up again so they can and we'll trust them. Faith, hope, and love abide in threes. And the greatest of these in love. For love gives birth to hope. If I choose to love somebody, I will not give up on what God wants them to become. This equilateral triangle that we see is strong. Good things do come in threes. Like Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I was thinking about love, and in fact, Dave touched on it. I was thinking of that image of love and the prodigal son. The son goes away. I haven't taken everything from his father. Give me my share of the inheritance. Let me go off and play with wild women and have song and drink whatever I want. And then all of a sudden, the people around him disappear. because he's got no more money to give. He's got nothing to spend. And so he ends up in a pigsty. And he looks at the pigs and he thinks, the servants back home are better off than this. But he thinks to himself, I'm no worthy even of being a servant. But he comes to his senses and decides to go back, and maybe going back in a groveling sort of way. But there's love standing, waiting in his father. And I just always get that image in my mind of this child who's probably a young man coming back towards his father. And his father running towards him to embrace him, to put his arms around him and to say, I love you. I love you. And that's what God wants for us. He wants us to come running back to him. Despite all our faults, despite who we are, what we're about, so that he can put his arms around us and actually say, I love you. The Holy Spirit brings hope. The Holy Spirit is ever present. Most of all, like Christ, the Son of God, who is love itself. Who's that expression of the love of God that he was given for the world so that the world might be saved and not condemned. For Christ, while we were yet sinners, loved us enough to die for us. Christ, whose love went to a cross, paid a price and gave and gave and gave and continues to give. Christ, whose love never ends. Christ, whose love remains. Christ, whose love redeems, whose love encompasses all of humanity, whose love is able to bear the shame, endure suffering, and turn us around. Christ, whose love reaches to the highest skies and to the lowest points. Faith, hope, and love. That strong equilateral triangle. And in Christ, we know that the greatest of these is love. We want to go out knowing that we have the love of Christ in our hearts. That there is three, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.